May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Every so often, someone will say to me, "Why don't you tell more stories about your horses?" So let me begin today by telling you a story about my older horse, my quirkiest horse, Brody. I go out to the barn every Monday morning without fail. And then I load up my pockets with treats and medications, and I make up a big pail of food in the barn, and then I walk out to catch Brody. And since he knows my habits, and since he knows what deliciousness is waiting for him in the barn, Brody is in the habit of waiting for me by the gate. And if he's not at the gate, he comes to me when I whistle. And that's how things have been happening for years now, until recently. Recently, out of the blue, Brody has developed a passion for hiding. And to understand exactly what that means, I need to set the scene a little bit and tell you a bit about where Brody lives. Brody lives essentially a perfect life for a horse. He lives with his girlfriend, Selena, and 25 other horses in a 100-acre field. There's several woods, there's a couple of streams, there's a muddy bog they all seem to find delightful. There's a hill and there's rolling open grassland, perfect for a good gallop. And there's quite a few beautiful little meadows tucked away that are hidden to all but the most determined seeker. So in short, it can be quite a difficult environment to find your horse in when he decides to hide. Now, Brody is not actually trying to avoid me. When I first got him 7 years ago, he was angry, he was quite violent, and we got over all of that. So now Brody is an unusually warm and affectionate horse. He's not trying to hide from me, but he is mischievous. He is very, very mischievous. So just last week, I went out to the barn. I went down to the gate. No Brody. I was calling to him and whistling to him, and I was just about to go on an extended tour of the entire property, which can easily take 30 minutes or more, when I happened to look this way. And there, just visible, poking out of an apparently vacant horse shelter, only about 100 meters from where I was standing, was the outline of an ear of a horse. As I approached, I saw the edge of a nostril, and then I saw an eye, and then the whole thing resolved itself into the face of a different horse named Josh. Josh, who is never to be found standing anywhere alone. Hey, Josh, I said to him, because he's not my horse. He doesn't really know me. So I thought, you talk friendly to horses who don't know you. Hey, Josh, what are you doing standing all alone up here in this shelter? And who was hiding right behind Josh, perfectly able to hear my voice and waiting to see if I would find them? It was Brody and Selena, looking both entirely innocent and deeply mischievous. And Brody had this look on his face that said, and then he gave me a warm, welcoming nuzzle, delighted at the game, and he came willingly with me to the barn. Now, this has happened a few times now. Brody playing hide-and-go-seek in this mischievous manner. He'll, like, stand there so I can see Selena, and Brody will stand there hidden in the trees. And I'll get all the way to Selena, and I'll be looking around, calling, treats in my hand, and there's Brody, like, hidden behind a tree. He's like... I can't tell right now with Brody. I can't tell. Does Brody just love being found? Or would sometimes Brody prefer to stay hidden? I can't tell. The parables today in the Gospel of Luke tell us about the joy of finding and the joy of being found. And they tell us also about God's character, that God is relentless. God is stubborn. God is insistent and tireless in searching us out, the way that the shepherd is tireless in searching out his sheep, the way that the woman is tireless in cleaning her entire home to find that coin. God longs for us to be found, for us to find ourselves in God's love, and nothing, nothing can separate us from God's persistent love. When I was a teenager and I was going to Pioneer Summer Camp, which is run by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, they had this idea, and I liked the overall concept of this idea, that once we, you know, sort of atheist young people, knew how much God longed to welcome us with love, how could we not immediately wish to be found? But when we have been hurt, when life hurts, when people around us are hurting, we can feel lost again. Like God has lost us. Or we can get angry with God and not want to be found. And being found sometimes is a complicated thing, it turns out. It's not so simple. What does it mean for us to be found by God? For many people around the world, and in fact, it seems to be the growing largest group of Christians, many people expect that being found comes with all the benefits of health and wealth, that finding God means the end of suffering, miraculous healings, success in work, transformation in life circumstances. And occasionally these people do experience these things with faith. But Jesus never actually promised us that being found meant an end to suffering. Even just last week, for crying out loud, we heard in the gospel that we must be willing to die on a cross, or at least be willing to give up all our possessions and forsake all of our families if we wish to be a disciple. So there's that. And then there's the truth that Jesus himself, who is our example, who is both the shepherd and the lamb who we can find, that Jesus himself lived a life of poverty and suffering and struggle, just as we do. So being found doesn't mean an end to all of that. Instead, here's what I think being found means. I think that being found means having a constant foundation in our lives, a constant orientation, a sure and certain hope in God's constancy, in Jesus' sovereignty, in the Holy Spirit's work in our lives and in the world. And that's what sustains us through the trials of our lives, just as his faith sustained Jesus in his trials, and just as we have the witness of the saints and the martyrs down through the ages, stories of people going without fear into trials that, thanks be to God, most of us can never imagine. And their faith sustained them through all of that. Our faith sustains us, can sustain us, through the hardships that life brings. It can give us that foundation, that confidence that we are found even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we remain found even when we pass through the raging waters, that God's rod and God's staff continue to comfort us even as we walk through fire, though indeed we may be burned. These hardships are part of life. We know this. They are the story of all God's people. And God's faithfulness throughout all, God's stubborn, relentless, insistent, tireless love for us holds fast through it all, even through the hardest struggles, even when we feel the most lost, even when we rage against God and the unfairness of the world. God's love, God is not dissuaded from loving us. God is not dissuaded from encouraging us. God is not dissuaded from comforting us. Now today, this room is full of faithful Christians. And among all the faithful Christians who are here today, there are people who face struggles in their lives. There are people whose loved ones face struggles. People whose communities and countries are oppressed under the weight of struggles too deep to count. And yet here in this room, among the faithful Christians who are here, and around the world, among all of God's beloved people, God is present. God encourages us. God comforts us. And God sustains us if we let God find us. And here in this room are signs of God's care for us. There are friendships here that only exist because the people met in faith and became brothers and sisters in Christ, or they otherwise would never have known each other. And they have helped each other through times of terrible trials in their lives. And there are networks of support and encouragement that exist only because, you know, we're a church and this is actually what we are supposed to do for each other. And so we do it, and lo and behold, what happens? We are transformed by it. And together we have helped all kinds of different people in this community and beyond to live through desperate circumstances. And today in this room there is the sign of God's loving care in the Eucharist, in which God promises that no matter what happens to us in our lives, the sacrifice of Jesus carries on, and also the grace that he brings to us. It never fails. And today in this room are people whom God has called and gifted with a special ministry to lay hands on any who wish and to hold up your prayers to God, trusting in God's loving faithfulness. There are times in our lives when we cannot hold faith or pray for ourselves any longer. And at that time, having someone to pray for you is the greatest grace that there can be. And today in this room, I offer to put oil on your head as a sign that you are not alone, whatever it is that you face. Whatever it is that you face today, know that God is present in your life and looking to find you again, looking to encourage you right now, looking to connect you with brothers and sisters in Christ who can support and uphold you. You need only open your heart and be willing to be found, and God will find you. And then, being found, come willingly to the table, knowing that all that awaits you here is love. Thanks be to God. Amen.